There are seven gatekeepers at the palace of the Absolute. They will prevent your entry. These gatekeepers are actually taxation officers. There are seven kinds of tax you have to pay before you allowed entry into that great magnificence. The moment you take your step in the direction of this great attainment, you will be stopped at the first gate. Pay your dues. What are the dues? The first dues, the types of obligation which you have to discharge, are the impulses arising from within oneself in connection with your social relations. There is nothing wrong with society. There is nothing wrong with people. But something is not all right, generally speaking, in your attitude to people. I am not going to speak to you here on sociology, but you can bestow a little deep thought on this matter and find out for yourself what attitude you have got towards people outside. You put a question to yourself, are you justified? Because any attitude that you have within yourself has to be accepted by the law of the Absolute. You cannot just go ahead with your own whims and fancies. Whoever has a clear idea as to what it is that one is aspiring for, the great wonderful attainment, will also know what are the laws that operate in regard to that attainment. Any contradictory behavior or attitude from your side in respect of social atmosphere, either by way of attachment or by hatred, should be reconciled, and you become a general witness of things. Because when you go above this realm, you cannot carry with you any kind of social prejudice. That has to be shed. Everyone is involved in society. There is a give and take arrangement between one person and another person. Whatever you are obliged to give to society for the extent of service it has rendered to you, that obligation has to be discharged. If you have taken nothing, you need not give anything. The feeling should not be there pinching you that some obligation has not been discharged. As I mentioned to you, the mistake is not in people, in your attitude. What do you think they are? Your thought about other people in society, either this way or that way, is the social determining factor in your personal life. You cannot say that you are unconnected with society. Because every minute you can see how you are connected to other people in the world. This has to be carefully taken care of, and a harmonious relationship between yourself and the atmosphere of society has to be attempted carefully, slowly, 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 without going abruptly in taking any sudden step. In the practice of yoga, there is no sudden step. Nothing can be done abruptly. The process of yoga practice is a gradual, wholesome growth from lesser maturity to higher maturity as a child or a baby grows into an adult. The baby does not jump into the adult just by itself. It is a systematic, organic, wholesome, complete, mature developmental process into the adult condition. In a similar manner is the whole practice of the limbs of yoga. There is no jump. Some say there is a ladder of the ascent in yoga which will make you believe that there are rungs, one different from the other, or rather one not connected with the other. But here the rung is organically related to the other. It is not like the bamboo ladder that laborers use to climb the terrace of a building, where one rung is not organically connected with the other. Here it is not like that, it is vitally connected. Anything erroneous at the base will affect the further step. So you tell this gatekeeper, I have no misgivings about human relations. And people too have no misgivings about me. In the Bhagavad Gita, there is a brief statement about it. You should not behave in such a way that people will shrink away from you, nor you should shrink away from them. This is a harmonious relationship with the external atmosphere, so-called, because it is really not external. Humanity is an organic integrality. So to say society is outside also is not a correct statement. In this concept of the social integration of values, you stand above society. You do not anymore remain as a social single unit, but a representative of humanity as a whole. This is a psychological exercise which is not difficult to understand and not difficult to practice also, because you are going from lesser healthy condition to a higher healthy condition. If that taxation is paid, you are allowed inside. Then the second gatekeeper stops. All your material entanglements also should be dealt with properly. You cling to money, you cling to property, you cling to house and land, and all economic values connected with your existence, which are part and parcel of your very bloodstream, you cannot even exist without them. They have to be properly attended to. Will you lose all your property and then go to the absolute? It will be a shock. I have a large estate, millions and millions. I have earned it with great difficulty. Do I quit it? The heart will rebel against this very proposal. This is a more difficult thing than the earlier one. As you advance further, the difficulty goes on increasing. Because you go more and more internal to yourself than from outside. The outside things are not difficult. When you go inside yourself, it's a terror. You need not require any instruction on this matter. When you leave this body, what happens to your property? Will you get a shock to hear this? Or will you feel nothing is happening to me. I am perfectly all right. The property concept is what has been annoying me. The property is not a problem. People are not problem. The money and land also are not problem. But you are going to hit me clinging to them either this way or that way, making it appear as if it totally belongs to you as a property. The wealth that is given to you, the property that is bestowed upon you, has to be managed as if you are a trustee, a caretaker of it, and not a possessor of it. It is the possessorship that creates the problem within you. Because if you are a possessor, you cannot leave it. But if you are a trustee, you have a great responsibility over it, but you are not a possessor of it, and you can just get transferred from that place to another place, you are losing nothing. Nobody can own anything in this world. Because things are external. What you call property is an external thing. It is not inside your body. And therefore, it cannot be held in the grip of your palms. Even if gold is held tightly in the grip of your hand, it has not become yours because it is still outside, it can drop out from your hand. An outside thing is not your property. As every property is outside, nothing belongs to you. These taxation officers do not expect anything from you materially. They expect from you a transformation of your evaluation of things. Your problem is an evaluation, a mental operation, and not a thing as such. No thing can trouble you. Your evaluation of things troubles. Here is a person. That person can be considered as your father. Or you can consider that person as the boss. Or you can consider the very same person as your servant. You may consider that person as your friend. Otherwise, you may consider that person as opponent. Now, has the person become so many things in 1 minute? That person is the same person, but your relationship has interpreted that person in 100 ways. It is this interpretation that will cling to you and will bite you like a scorpion if you try to move forward without making amends for these attitudes. All problem is inside you. Your thoughts, your feelings, emotions are the problem. Don't make complaints against trees and mountains and sun and star and all that. With this adjustment to the concept of possession, property, belonging, house, relation, etc., with this transvaluation of the values of this kind of relationship that you have with property, that should be modified into an integral concept as you did earlier in your social relations. When you are given a clean chit, you enter and the third gatekeeper stops there. These are the vital longings of your personality. Your pranas urge you in the direction of a kind of satisfaction. Vital longings are well known to people. What are the vital longings? The intense desire to live only in this body and not bother about any other body. You would not like to be transferred to the body of some other person. That is a horrible thing. If permission is granted for you to transfer yourself from this body to another person's body, would you like it? That clinging to this body, only and no other thing, I am only this and nothing more. This is one kind of vital attachment. The second thing is sex. It is a terrible bogey that is before the eyes or the mind or the feelings of anyone, because its meaning has not been understood by anybody. Sex is not a relationship between man and woman merely. It is only an outer manifestation of an internal longing. You are bound by time process. You know that you will go to die one day. Nobody would like to die. You would like to continue in the process of time, even if this physical body is to pass away. That is the longing for the perpetuation of the species. You want a child to be born to you. The child is a reproduction of your own self. So you feel that you are physically immortalized by just because there is a child in front. People marry, but they do not know why do they marry. It is also a hobgoblin in front of them, great nightmare. Nobody knows what it is. A demon is yawning and wanting to swallow you. I must marry. What is the purpose? Why? How is it that you are pushed in that direction so vehemently? The species tells you, you fellow are going to perish. I shall see that your species continues. The voice of the species, like a terrifying rod, tells you, you cannot go like that without transforming yourself into another form of your own self. Species cannot perish. It is the time rod that is punishing you in the form of the longing for production of children. This urge is for sex. It is not man wanting woman or woman wanting man. That is a misconception. You don't want either way. Neither the woman wants man, nor the man wants woman. It is something else inside, a devilish urge to perpetuate the physical personality in the form of progeny. And nobody understands this. Because it is clear to your mind, then you will never go for it. So an illusion is cast by nature for its own purpose. It is for your good. Go for it. You will be blessed. But this demoniacal voice that you are hearing from inside is like Satan speaking to Adam and Eve. Eat it. How beautiful, how tasty. And the tasty thing has been eaten. And hell descended next moment. It is said God kept a flaming sword at the gates of heaven. Come not here. Go. You fall headlong down into the perdition of human sorrow. The power of illusion connected with this impulse is so strong that nobody can peer through that illusion, and while it is a devastation of one's welfare, it looks like a great blessing. You must be able to understand this matter. Overcoming the urge of species is as difficult or even more difficult than the urge for possession of material property and social relations. The urge cannot be resisted by power of will or any kind of foolish hostility and starvation or running away. You cannot run away from the devil. It will pursue you wherever you go. If you understand the significance of what I have said, that you are misguided by some voice of the species which wants to perpetuate the sorrow of existence. Schopenhauer was one of the persons who thought over this matter. You only hide your part of the body. You can open your mouth, you can open your chest, you can open your legs and hands, but some part of the body you cover always. Because this is the daman that is sitting inside. And if you treat it with a callous attitude, the daman's work will not go on properly. So it is shame before you. You do not want to expose your shame. Why is it a shame? Because you are going to do something devastating to the soul. Therefore it is a shame. And so you are guarding your aggressive attitude, which is apparently a beautiful voice of a friend from a satanic manifestation in the form of a snake. Psychologists and psychoanalysts say snake represents sexual desire. And those who have got intense sexual longing see dreams of snakes like that. Well, that is a part. So if you are able to visualize the cosmical significance of this earth, which is pushing you exteriorly, not internally or universally, by the very understanding of the situation, you will be able to overcome this impulse. A divine universality will take possession of you. This externalized earth will stop in 1 second if you want. If this is overcome, you go again inside. And then there is another gatekeeper. Stop. What is matter? Your emotional turmoil. That is the next one. This is very difficult to explain. Why do I enter the bosom of the Absolute? What will I get from this? I have got so many things in this world. The whole world will vanish for me if I have the temerity to think that the Absolute can give me everything. So much is there before me. All beautiful, grand, wonderful manifestation of this world is there. Oh, it will vanish completely. I too will vanish. Can you hear this statement? You will not be existing there when you enter the Absolute. Oh, goodbye. Thank you very much. If I am who is the person going to enjoy the bliss of the Absolute is not existing there, what for is this exercise, my dear boys? There is something wrong. The emotion says, be careful. What do you gain by entering the Absolute? Let anyone answer this question. Nothing. Nothing that the world can give you can be found there. But the grandfather of all these things in the world will be sitting there, who has manufactured all these grandest things in the world. These wonderful things that you see in the world are shadows cast by the reality, which are the ramifications of the Absolute. Therefore, fear not. Do you want shadows or the substances which cast the shadow? I want this, I want that, I want this. You go on saying like that, but you are running after the shadow of a reality which is not here. So don't be afraid that you are using everything, because you yourself are a shadow of another thing which is your original reality, the archetype of your own existence. You are a reflection of your own self, which is somewhere else. And if you enter that, do you think that you are losing anything? You are gaining yourself. Now you have lost all things. By looking at your own shadow existence here and the shadow existence of the world. The world is not a paradise. Don't make the mistake. It is a shadow show. And you must be very cautious about it. So don't be afraid. If I enter the Absolute, what will I find? Wonderful, you cannot explain what you find. the father, grandfather, mother, everybody will be there sitting. All the wonderful things, beauty, excesses of this world. They are in the original there, these are shadows dancing here. The excesses of earthly life are shadows of a wonderful, majestic ecstasy in reality that you will see in the absolute. And you yourself find yourself in the reality there. And you are happy to hear all these things. You tell the emotions, I am clear of all these doubts. Then the gatekeeper says, go. You are clear. Then you have got another problem of your intellectual convictions. I am a Hindu, I am a Christian, I am a fundamentalist, and I am a owner of property, and I am a big man. Name and fame, this is a catch-all of people. Who would like to live like a very little pot, tiny pot? People work hard, day in and day out, to become important people, to gain high positions. Even if they die, they do not want their name to go. They put a marble flag of themselves. Let people know that I was existing. What a desire. You perpetuate your name. After the death of the body also you are clinging to the name that was attached to your personality. The desire for name and fame and respect, self-respect, is so strong that people can commit suicide if this is denied. They can leave everything, discard all things, but your name is affected. Nothing can be worse for you than that. This is the prejudice that you have got, of the ego. Here the ego is speaking. Previously emotions and attachments were speaking. Now the ego is speaking, I am. My name cannot be removed. This I-amness will come there and say, you cannot throw me out like that. Here, you find yourself in a very difficult situation. Would you like to be a stupid man, unwanted, spat at, good for nothing? Oh, this kind of life is no good. I am a wonderful man. I have achieved so much. I have obtained so many encomiums and recognitions, and would I throw everything and go like a pauper to the absolute? This is the ego speaking, and you have to be tell the gatekeeper that I understand I have to pay my dues to this erroneous clinging of what is name. What is that in a name? It only sounds that way. It is sound. It is a word that people utter. A word is attached to you. You are in a great tree merely because the word you utter in front of you. Clear it out, this also. You go inside the other gatekeeper system. The power of causation. The intense action of the notion of cause and effect relationship, which is insisting that something has come from something, God has created the world. There was a time when God sat in heaven like this. Let me create the world. The world is an effect, God is the cause. What is the relationship between the cause and the effect? You don't want to answer this question. Is the effect the same as the cause? No. Is the pot identical with the clay out of which it is made? Oh, you may say, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. You cannot say anything. The clay is not the pot, but there is nothing in the pot minus the clay. Clay is the pot, but clay is not the pot. Now, what is this situation between God and the world? Is the world made up of the substance of God, or God has created not out of the substance but a material external thing? There is no external thing, it is void. He created the world out of nothing. If that is the case, the world is nothing. It is not created at all. This is a philosophical jugglery and a quandary of a metaphysical nature. Philosophers, both in the West and the East, have struggled to know what this thing called causation is. Modern physics, in its highest reaches, have denied causation. Nothing is produced by something else. Everything is producing everything. The cause is the effect, the effect is the cause. It is like a circular movement of one thing in connection with the other. Nothing is produced by anything. Things are as they are. But what is it that is actually there? Is it God that is there, or the matter that is there? These are intellectual quandaries that arise in the mind, philosophical doubts. Finally, landing upon the difficulty of knowing your relationship with God Himself. Are you a part of God? Are you totally different from God? Or are you not existing at all in the light of the omnipresence of God? These doubts are rational, intellectual, and arise from some deep convictions on account of the logic that we are adopting in understanding things. The intellectual attachment, rational attachment also has to go. If that is clear and you go further in, God is sitting in heaven. The Absolute is very far from me. Far, very great distance is there between me and the Absolute. Do you say that it is inside this room? Will anybody say that? You cannot say that. You will be afraid to utter such words. Is the great Supreme Being inside this room, sitting here and looking at you? Fear. You should not say such words. It is very far away in high heaven. God is in heaven. All is well with the world, the poets are saying. The concept of distance and the sincerity of achievement is also a problem. Tomorrow I shall have self-realization. You must know that self-realization is not in the process of time. And therefore, there is no tomorrow, but it is eternity. Eternity is not yesterday, or today, or tomorrow. I shall attain God. The word shall means a futurity. These are muddles created in the intellectual process of thinking, which goes by the name of rational philosophy, metaphysical argument, etc. They go. The concept of space and time comes finally. Everything is in space and time. Heaven is so vast, scriptures tell us. Whether it is a Hindu paradise, or a Muslim paradise, or the Christian paradise, they say greenery is everywhere, rivers flowing, and beautiful things, and nectar, ponds of nectar. Delights are raining from all sides. This is the scriptural description of heaven that is ruled by God the Almighty in His wonderful Garden of Eden. You cannot get out of this idea also. You are a religious man. You are a religious person. So you respect God as the ruler of the great heavens which are above the seven realms of being. If this is clear, the great light opens. The master comes out. In the Katha Upanishad, we are told Nachiketa, the great aspirant, was debarred from having the vision of the great teacher. For 3 days and nights he starved and stood without eating and drinking. When Shuddha, the great seer, was sent by his father Vyasa to have an interview with Janaka, the great yogi, the king sent an information that he is not available. Shuddha, the earnest seeker, stood there. After 3 days, the king sent messengers. Let him see the palace beautifully, beautiful palace all around, and then let me see him afterwards. Take him around the palace. Tell the boy, is he thirsty? Give him a cup of milk. They brought a glass full of milk which is filled to the brim. If you need to shake it a little from them. Janaka wanted to see how far the mind is controlled of the little boy. And what he did was, not only he gave this cup of milk, which if it shakes even a little will fall down, he arranged this wonderful penagery of music and dance all around the palace. Grand attractions he presented. So that if he looks at them, the milk will fall down. But this concentration of the boy was so much that he was thinking only of the milk, as he was told that it is a test of his concentration. He moved 3 times around the great palace, and this wonderful music was going on, dance and all that. After all this test, Janaka opened the gates, took him in. My dear boy, what did you see for these days that you were there? I could not see you, I'm sorry for it. I saw nothing. Did you go around my palace? Yes. Did you see anything? I don't know. I didn't see anything. I saw only the little milk that you bought. Come on, sit. And the conversation took place on high values that are totally spiritual. So is the Nachiketas and Yama. You know all that. I did not go on repeating this. He said, I am very sorry that I was not available for 3 days and nights for this mistake I have committed inadvertently. I ask you to choose the 3 boons. And he chose 1 boon connected with the earthly existence, another with cosmic existence. Lastly, he said, what is the fate of the soul after the departure from the body? He said, don't ask this question. Then these tests gradually come one after the other. If you are very intensely aspiring for its realization in this very birth, your longing is flaming like a fire from inside, then you will realize it in this birth itself. It can be even before the shedding of this physical body. But if it is shallow, you want it, but in a very moderate manner. You want to have this world and the other world also at the same time. Then when the body is shed, the mortal coil is cast off, you might not have reached the state, you will take another birth. The nature of the birth that you take after leaving this body will depend upon the last thought that you entertain at that time of passing. What were you thinking at that time? Ordinarily, people cannot think at that time, they are confounded. But the intensity of the practice, the momentum of your earlier meditations, etc., will be carried forward like a credit balance in the balance sheet, and that will push you forward. People are born, and many of them, even in the beginning stages of their life, are fired with great consciousness of values. There are precocious children, geniuses, even at the young age, all because of their effort in the previous life. They will be born in a very, very congenial atmosphere of family relations, yogis, teachers, gurus, masters, etc. But your understanding is perfectly clear, and I don't want to have another birth so that I may be born somewhere and continue my practice. This tedious exercise, I do not want, it should end now. If that intensity of longing, tivrasam vega, as they call it in yoga scriptures, flaming aspiration, which burns up all desires and wants nothing except that, if that longing is persisting and burning your body and soul and melting down your personality, if this is the longing, you will realize it in this very birth. Hari Om Tat Sat.